His mercy and grace upon your life.
Yes.
That's something that will affect you the rest of your life. I mean, it wasn't one day and then it was gone, but it stuck with me the whole way. I thank God for that.
Yes.
For the good times and the bad. If you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn to Isaiah chapter number 25. Find your place, so I'm about to stand very serene of God's word. Isaiah chapter number 25, beginning in verse number 1. It says, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast made of a city and heap, of a defense city a ruin, a place of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. When the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall, thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers, as the heat in the dry place, even the heat with the shadow of the cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord shall wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. And he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hand. And the fortress of the high fort of thy wall shall he bring down, lay low and bring to the ground, even to the dust. I'll ask Jeremy if you would lead us in a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, I can't thank you enough for being back in my household this morning, Lord. Pray you just touch and bless and help Adam, Lord, and make it easy on him, Lord Jesus, Lord. Again, we thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy, Lord, for always being with us, Lord. Lord, have sort of focused upon you, Lord. Just raise your name, Lord, on the names worthy to be raised, Lord. Pray you just continue, Lord, touch and bless the service and service, Lord. Lord, give help where help's needed, Lord, if you have the needs on your base heart, Lord. We thank you, Lord, always thank you for asking your name.
As we look here in the book of Isaiah, we see that being a different time than the world in which we live in, Isaiah is writing in a time in which the Lord has not come yet. He's not been born. He's not died on the cross of Calvary. They are a nation and a people that's looking for a hope that is to come one day down the road. We see that they expect a king to come into this world to set up a rule and a reign to make things easy. And we see throughout the scripture that we've read this morning, a lot of what Isaiah is talking about is a personal contact with an outside world in which they have overwhelmed the nation of Israel. And as he is reflecting upon that and how God has moved in their direction, you and I would look at it in a different aspect of it's not so much the physical aspect of us coming in contact with the people wanting to
overthrow us, but it is a spiritual battle in which you and I will face. So we see that it would still apply in the lives, just a little different mindset about it, but as the Lord would lay it upon the heart of Isaiah to write throughout this book, we see that he has come down to this chapter and he has begun to reflect on what God has done for them in their lives. And as I read through it, it kind of reminds me of the Psalms of when David would sit back and he would reflect of how God had moved upon his life. And you see that time and time again, as they would both do this, that it seems as an important part for the child of God to look back at times and see how God has moved in their direction in order to keep them encouraged to keep going on.
Yeah.
A lot of times we talk about not looking back in life on things. And I believe there's things that you ought to not look back on, let them hinder your walk, but there's things that you and I as children of God ought to reflect on, knowing that God has the power to move and work in each and every aspect of our life. As Isaiah would start in verse number 1 here, we see that he starts out and then we get the pause of, "O Lord." And when I read through the Bible, I try to get a feeling of kind of what they were try to reflect upon and ask the Lord to let me kind of see the sense that they were in, and the Lord reveals unto me some things, and then I get to thinking about times that I've actually been before God and made that statement. Times when I've been broken, and then times when I'm overwhelmed from the goodness of God. I can imagine Isaiah right here being kind of related to my life of he's come to the point of he's seen the hand of God move and work in the nation of Israel, and how he's set back and he said, "Oh Lord, I don't deserve it."
Yes.
We see first off the humbleness of the heart of Isaiah.
Yes.
We see worship taking place in this verse, but first off we have to see that there's a heart that's right.
Yeah.
And I get to thinking about some times that I've sat down, times that I've put everything else aside and the Lord has begun to move in my direction, and I begin to get overwhelmed with the things that the Lord has done for me in my life, and there's not much I can say other than, "Oh Lord."
Yeah.
And then sit there and rejoice. And I believe that's where I'm saying it.
Okay.
I was looking over this, I got to ponder on some things. There's a lot that I don't deserve in this life. I don't deserve the salvation that the Lord brought my life. Didn't deserve the conviction that come before the salvation. Didn't deserve the help that the Lord has given me all throughout my life. Don't deserve the hand of God moving in situations that I don't understand. But God's been there.
Amen.
Don't understand some things in life.
Yeah.
But he's been faithful and he's been true. Isaiah makes that statement later on in this verse that the counsel of the Lord is faithfulness and truth. He's always been there. But we seek for that worship to ever take place, and we wonder why our churches is going the way that they are. Sometimes it seems like people stray from God. We see the first thing that happens in the heart of Isaiah, we see the humbleness of his heart. Without that humbleness, he's never going to be able to get yoked up with God and worship him. Too often times in our lives, we get our eyes set on how good I've done and the things that I've accomplished in my life and get a distraction away from the things of God when really, it's all about him.
Yes.
It says, "Thou art my God." Begin to ponder upon that statement. And Isaiah's claiming him as his, but I think about the times when some have said to one another that you're mine.
Yes.
Not as in possession of, "I'm in control of you, I'm going to dictate what you do." But that is a term of, "I love you.
Yes.
I am infatuated with you. I desire to spend my time with you. I desire to share everything with you. I desire to open up unto you." What Isaiah is saying is, he said, "My heart is humbled, Lord." He said, "I want to praise and honor and glorify and worship you because of who you are and how good you've been unto me."
Yeah.
And I begin to think about the times we begin to love on the Lord. He begins to love back on us.
Yeah.
And I believe that's where Isaiah is getting to right here. And he begins to get overwhelmed. I believe he's a thinking. He starts out as the physical things that God's done. And then he goes to looking at it.
Yeah.
"Lord, this is going to happen because you're a great God." because you're mighty God.
Yes.
He says, Lord, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. Yes. I will praise thy name. I think things would happen and things would pick up for the child of God if we'd get back to that place in our life.
Yeah.
It's not a complicated thing for the Christian to do. It's just that we don't take the time to set aside to recognize how holy He is.
Oh, yes.
I believe the longer that Isaiah sits here and he ponders on this, the more stuff that God begins to bring back to his own.
Yeah.
I can't run out of thoughts of how good God's been unto me. There's no limit to how good He's been.
Yeah.
When it says, thou hast done wonderful things, talks about Him being faithful and true. And then Isaiah begins to expound upon what he's talking about. In verse number 2 and verse number 3, it says, for thou hast made of a city a heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. What I notice in verse number 2 is he brings these two verses out. As it said, he has made. He said, God has done this before. He's already taken care of the battles before that we faced. He's already taken care of the opposition that we've come up against. He said, the nation of Israel has not been conquered and destroyed. He said, because God, you've been on the scene. And what Isaiah is saying is when he's saying that, he said, the strong people's going to glorify thee. He said, you've handled it before. And he said, you're going to handle it again. He said, no matter what I face, no matter the opposition that comes my way, no matter what it's physically, spiritually that I have to endure in this life, the darkest hours that I may ever face may be yet to come. He said, God has always been faithful in those times. And he said, he's handled it before. And he'll handle it again.
Amen.
If I didn't have the look back of knowing how God has, I guess, continually grown my faith, little by little, through things that he's done, I wouldn't have a hope to keep going on in this walk of life. But Isaiah said, Lord, you've been faithful to me. And Lord, you're going to continue to be faithful to me. And he said, handle everything that I can come up against. In verse number 4, he would go on down. He says, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. He said, well, the Lord has been this unto the nation of Israel, unto Isaiah personally. He said, you've been the strength to the poor, the needy, in a time of distress. Think about the poor and the needy. These are both that cannot provide for themselves. I'm not talking about physically when I'm relating it to us. I mean, spiritually, I cannot provide for myself. I would fail. I struggle to keep going on. I don't know which way to turn when it comes to the things of God. But God is there. And He gives that strength that is needed to keep serving faithfully unto Him. It says in that time of distress, a lot of times in life we think the Lord is not on the scene. When those valleys come, when the trials come, when the dark times come and our world's upside down. But instead of God not being on the scene, he says in those times of distress, he said he gives the strength that's needed unto us. He says a refuge from the storm. When he's talking about a storm, he's not talking about like the rain that we've had this morning, but I believe when I think about it, it'd be like a storm that's coming through and bringing tornadoes, a hurricane that's coming through, something that brings destruction, something that brings fear, something that brings an uneasiness that's coming that way that's going to cause turmoil in a certain area. When those storms would come our way to destroy everything that we've relied upon, to turn our world upside down, to turn us around backwards as it would so seem, he said, you've been my refuge. I watch a lot of Western stuff on TV. That's what I like to watch. You watch them out there, they're making a pursuit of something and going through a wide open space and a storm will hit it. There seems like there's a big old rock cliff somewhere that they can get back into and get that protection. And that rock cliff is not giving, it's not swaying, it's not going to move no matter what hits it. And that's what Isaiah said the Lord is for you and I. He is the one that protects us. The one that keeps His hand upon us. No matter what I face, the world cannot destroy me. I cannot lose my salvation because He is my refuge. He expounds upon it a little bit in the latter part. He said, as a storm against the wall. When I read that, I think about where they drive the pylons on the side of the ocean to keep land from washing away. And you see the storms come in and the waves begin to beat against that big wall of thick timber. And they hit that wall and they bounce right off. And the land behind it remains where it was at. It's not disturbed. It's not destroyed. Because there's something there to block the storm off of that. That's what He is to you and I. No matter what I face, it has to go through Him first. It has to be approved by God. It can't come to me directly from the devil himself, but God Himself has to allow it in my life. He goes in the middle of that verse. He says, a shadow from the heat. Get to thinking about that verse. That is something that gives relief so you can keep going on. We build a lot of houses in the summertime, a lot of hot weather. Sometimes, you just want to give up. You want to quit when it's hot. But one in particular I remember is up above 95 degrees the whole time we framed the floor system. And we began to lay that plywood and there was no shade around. We're in a big open field. And we began to burn. I mean, it's like it's burning through your clothes. It was so hot. And your body's drained and dripping. And one thing I noticed from that heat is you begin to cramp up. Things in your body's not working right anymore. Your body goes to stop. And it's telling you, you've hit your limit. That's all you can handle. You're done. But then we get to break time, 12 o'clock. We drive a truck over to somewhere else right beside us where it had a big old shade tree. And we get in that shade. And just that little bit of time give you relief and you know, I can make it to the end of the day. No, you're still going to be in the heat. You're still going to be struggling. Your body's still going to be wanting to cramp up and shut down on you. But you can make it. It ain't that much further. And He's saying that's what God is to you and I. He said we're going to face some times where it seems like we're getting burnt. Burnt from behind and burnt from the front, spiritually. He said, seems like we're going to be overwhelmed. It's going to seem like spiritually that our body begins to shut down. Yeah. That we can't take no more. And then He's going to be that cloud that comes over. Oh, gives us that little bit of shade. That little bit of refuge. Keep going on. It's not going to be that much longer. We're going to be home to be with Him. And just from that little bit of shade that He gives us, I can keep going on because of Him. As He would move on down into verse number 5, He says, thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers. As the heat in dry places, even the heat with the shadows of the cloud and the breaths of the terrible ones shall be low. And we'll go ahead and pick up verse number 10, 11, 12. It says, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst to them. As he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim, and he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands. And the fortress of the high fort of thy walls shall he bring down, lay low and bring to the ground, even to the dust. Right here, Isaiah is starting to look ahead. It's no longer about what God's done, it's what God's going to do in the time to come. He said, Lord, all this opposition that I face. He said, all the opposition that your people's face. He said, one day is going to be put down. He said, you're going to handle it. When he talks about Moab, he's talking about somebody that would overthrow the children of God, God's chosen people. He said, all the obstacles that we're going to face. He said, Lord, you've got them handled. He said, Lord, they're not caught you off guard. He said, but there's a time, an appointed time. And what you're going to take care of those situations. He says, you're going to destroy them. As straw in the dunghill. He's talking about if you ever get the straw that's been trodden in manure, when animals walk through it, it ain't coming back out. It is there to stay. He said, now you're going to put them under. And he said, they're going to be destroyed forevermore. I don't believe he's just talking for us about just physical encounters with people that would oppose the Christians, but I believe he's talking about spiritual things. That would seem to overwhelm you and I. the burdens that we would face. One of these days, he said, God's going to put everything that would hinder the child of God at ease. He said he's going to take it away and make it all right.
Yes.
You and I, as the Word of God, to let us know our life is going to be short, full of problems.
Yeah.
But there's a coming day when we're going to spend all eternity in a glorified body to worship Him and bring honor and glory to His name. Verse number 6, we see that he begins to, as he's looking into the future, he begins to mention the work mountain. Verse number 6, verse number 7, and in verse number 10, Isaiah mentions the word mountain. Talking about Mount Zion, they would look towards Mount Zion as a physical place and a fortress, but it's referred to as a place, the dwelling place of God. You and I would know that that dwelling place referred to Mount Zion is in heaven. You and I are looking forward to seeing Him on life's other side in glory. And it says, in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the leaves, a fat things full of marrow, of wine on the leaves well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the coverings cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. We see here that as he begins to talk about this, that what is mentioned in verse number 6, talking about the wine on the leaves and the fat and the marrow, he's talking about the best things that God would have to offer is going to be given unto his people. But it also catches my attention in verse number 7 as he talks about the covering cast over the people in the veil. And I did think about in the Word of God where it talks about they put the veil over their face to hide themselves from God. And then I begin to think about what it is in a marriage ceremony when the bride comes down the aisle with the veil over her face and she comes up to the front and then that veil is lifted. What's happening is you're only seeing in part what is there before. So I can look at our life down here, and I can say that God has been good in every aspect of our life through the mercy and the grace and the faithfulness that He has been to you and I. God has been good. But we're not seeing God as He really is. In verse number 7, it tells us that we're just getting a little peek at Him. Sure, when your bride comes down the aisle and she has the veil on, you know who it is. You can make out the outline of the person, but when that veil is lifted, you see it her for all her beauty. And that's what's going to happen one of these days. He said, when we get to Zion, when we get to life's other side, we're going to see Him face to face. I believe we're going to get a reality check when it comes down to that time. I know He's been true and He's been faithful. I know He's a glorious God. But my mind can't fathom how righteous and holy that He really is. I can only imagine when I see Him for the first time. I don't know if I'll be able to say anything. I don't know if I'll shout. I don't know if I'll be sharing a testimony. I don't know what the situation may be. It may be that we just fall down at His feet and worship Him because that's what He's worthy of. I'm thankful for the day that we're going to see Him, not just in part, but as He really is.
Oh, yes.
In verse number 8, He would go on. And He says, He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord will wipe away tears from off all their faces. Talking about the death of victory, Isaiah is talking about the battles that was fought through the nation of Israel against the enemy, the death that would take place. But he just said one day there's going to come an end to that. You and I would know that we face spiritual battles, spiritual trials, physical trials. We would face those things. He said one day when the Lord raptures the church out, He said victory is going to be won. All that's going to be settled. Everything's going to be put at ease. No more reason for tears anymore because it's going to be a joyous time for the child of God. He said the rebuke of His people shall be taken away off the earth, for the Lord has spoken. No longer have to face any kind of opposition anymore as a child of God. Then we get to verse number 9. It says, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. I kind of remind you of the statement that was made in verse number 1 of thou art my God. He's talking about a love in their heart for a heavenly Father. He says, This is our God. We have waited for Him. And He will save us. The save that He's talking about here is not a salvation of us accepting Him as a Savior and Lord, but it is a physical pulling away and the getting out of a time of trouble. This is talking about saved people being raptured out, and it says, this is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest. He's talking about when we get to heaven, what's going to happen. He said, we've waited for the Lord. Isaiah is talking about a faithful servant here until the Lord pulls them out of the situation that they were in. So you and I would know that we've got to be the faithful servant until the Lord raptures us out and takes us home to be with Him, where we'll forever dwell. You and I would have to start, I believe, back at verse number 1 if we're going to be that faithful servant. The humbleness of heart and the love for the Lord. I believe that's what so many people are missing in their lives today when it comes to serving God. Got no desire anymore because they're built up with pride. You know what Isaiah is talking about? The nations that's going to be destroyed by the Lord. That Isaiah is referring to as the nations that are boast of themselves and build up with pride. And Isaiah said, Lord, you're going to cast it all aside. And He said, the humbleness of your people, you're going to come back and take them home to be with you. There's no greater joy than serving the Lord down here in this walk of life. He's been good. He's been faithful to you and I. And I want to tell you, in order to be the desire of our heart to serve and worship Him, to bring honor and glory unto His name, I want to ask you today, where are you at with the Lord? It may be that you're not saved, that you don't know what the joy is. Maybe that you're no longer worshiping God like you once did. You've lost that humbleness of your heart. You've lost the love that you once had for Him. You've lost that desire to serve and worship. I want to tell you, He can restore that. It's not too late today to get back on track and serving Him and bringing honor and glory to His name. No matter what your need is this morning, the Lord can take care of it. Y'all come around, David, you get us a song this morning.